Indeed, we welcome you, whoever you are, wherever you come from, and whomever you love. My name is Elaine Bowen, and I am a member of the Worship Arts team. It is the team's privilege to lead worship for you this morning. We have our commissioned lay minister, Lori Fatchett McGee, our director of music, Hal Walker, and our RE coordinator, Colleen Taley, and the UU Church of Kent Peace Choir. We are delighted to welcome you on this very cold morning into this warm religious community.
In any given moment, we have two options: to step forward in growth or to step back into safety.
To be honest, I hadn't given much thought to intent or intentions until we began working on this service. I was plumbing my memory. What about intentions? The first thing that popped into my mind, not surprisingly, was a song lyric. I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Dear Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. And then I remembered the old saying about the road to hell being paved with good intentions. Neither of those was particularly inspiring to me, so I kept plumbing my memory. In UU circles, I've heard people say, always assume good intentions. That resonates with me somewhat, although I am skeptical about the caveat of always. So I'm still thinking on that, and I invite you to take time with me, with us, and all together to explore what it means to live with intention. Come, let us worship together.
In a village in India, a woman had two large pots. One hung on the end of the pole on each end as she carried the water back to her house from the stream. At the end of the long walk from the stream to the house, she noticed that there was a crack in one of the pots. And that pot always arrived half full. For 2 years, this went on daily, with the bearer delivering one pot full and one half full to her house. Of course, the perfect pot was super proud of his accomplishments and fulfilled the design for which he was made. But the poor cracked pot was ashamed of his imperfection and was miserable and was unable to accomplish what he had been made to do. After 2 years of enduring this bitter shame, the pot spoke to the woman one day by the stream. "I'm ashamed of myself," he said, "and I apologize to you." "Why?" asked the woman. "What are you ashamed of?" "I have been able for the past 2 years to only deliver half of my load because of this crack in my side. The water leaks out all the way back to your house. And because of my flaws, all of the hard work that you do, you don't get the full value for." The woman felt sorry for the old cracked pot. And with compassion, she said, "As we return to the house today, take a moment, be gentle with yourself, and look around at the flowers." Indeed, as they went up the hill, the old cracked pot looked and noticed the sun warming the beautiful wildflowers on the path and was cheered somewhat. But at the end of the trail, it still felt some shame, because again, he had leaked out half of his water. And so again, the pot apologized to the woman for his failure. The bearer said to the pot, "Did you not notice the flowers were growing on the side of the path that you were on? That's because I've always known you had a crack in the pot. And I planted flower seeds on your side of the path. And every day while we have walked back from the stream, you have watered them. And for 2 years, I have been able to pick these beautiful flowers to decorate our home with. Because of you being exactly who you are, we could not have this beauty grace our home. You see, each of us has flaws. We are all cracked pots. But if you let those flaws shine and try to see them for you being yourself, you can make your flaws and the world more beautiful. And if that's what you're doing, are they truly flaws?
Would you please join me now in the spirit of prayer or meditation, as is your practice? Spirit of life and of love, spirit of mystery and wonder, today I want to greet joy without a trace of suspicion. I want to open my eyes to the light without a blink of dread. I want to look at my past without a whisper of shame. I want to look at my future without a hint of fear. Today, I want to dance without pausing to think. I want to belly laugh without caring who hears. I want to open my arms and twirl in the open air until I fall breathless, free to be myself, full of the joy that I open to allow completely letting go. Without even a smudge of suspicion or a wink of hesitation. That is my intention. It is what I want. Amen. Blessed be.
I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to be ready to walk in Jerusalem just like John. I want to be ready, I want to be ready, I want to be ready to walk in Jerusalem just like John.
Oh John, oh John, what do you say?
Walk in Jerusalem just like John.
That I'll be there on the coming day.
Walk in Jerusalem just like John. I want to be ready, I want to be ready, I want to be ready to walk in Jerusalem. Just like John.
John said the city was just four squares.
Walk in Jerusalem just like John.
And he declared he'd meet me there.
Walk in Jerusalem just like John.
When Peter was preaching at Pentecost.
Walk in Jerusalem just like John.
He was endowed with the Holy Ghost.
Walk in Jerusalem just like John. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Walk in Jerusalem just like John.
I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to be ready to walk in
Jerusalem,
sing in
Jerusalem,
shout
in Jerusalem
just like John.
Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom.
Any dead fish can go with the flow. You have to be intentionally alive to swim against the current.
Find a purpose to serve, not a lifestyle to live.
Conscious change is brought about by the two qualities inherent in consciousness, intention and attention. Wherever you put your attention on will grow stronger in your life. Whatever you take your attention away from will wither, disintegrate, and disappear.
Great minds have purpose. Others have wishes.
Intention is the difference between those old mustard stains and Jackson Pollock.
Before you tell your life what you intend to do with it, listen for what it intends to do with you. Before you tell your life what truths and values you have decided to live up to, let your life tell you what truths you embody, what values you represent.
A person will worship something. Have no doubt about that. We may think our tribute is paid in secret in the dark recesses of our hearts, but it will out. That which dominates our imaginations and our thoughts will determine our lives and our character. Therefore, it behooves us to be careful what we worship, for what we are worshiping, we are becoming.
Habits eat good intentions for breakfast.
Your day is pretty much determined by how you spend your first hour.
You too can be carved anew by the details of your devotion.
Dear Lord, so far I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm really glad about that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed. From then on, I'm going to need a lot more help.
With goals, the future is always the focus. Are you going to reach the goal? Will you be happy when you do? What's next? Setting intention, at least according to Buddhist teachings, is quite different than goal making. It is not oriented toward a future outcome. Instead, it is a path or practice that is focused on how you are being in the present moment. Your attention is on the ever-present now in the constantly changing flow of life. You set your intentions based on understanding what matters most to you and making a commitment to align your worldly actions with your inner values. Goals help you make your place in the world and be an effective person. But being grounded in intention is what provides integrity and unity in your life. What would it be like if you didn't measure the success of your life just by what you get and don't get, but give equal or greater priority to how aligned you are with your deepest values?
Let me tell you why I came to church. I come to church and would, whether I was doing this or not, and because I fall below my own standards and need to be constantly brought back to them. I'm afraid of becoming selfish and indulgent, and my church, our Church of the Free Spirit, brings me back to what I want to be. I could easily despair, doubt and dismay could overwhelm me. My church renews my courage and my hope. It's not enough that I should think about the world and its problems at the level of a newspaper report, magazine discussion. It could too soon become too low a level. I must have my conscience sharpened until it goads me to the most thorough and responsible thinking of which I'm capable. I must feel again the love I owe to others. I must not only hear about it, but feel it. And in church I do. I must feel it, and I'm brought toward my best. In every way, toward my best.
In preparation for this service, I watched a TED Talk with Malika Chopra about living with intent. In it, she talks about her father, Deepak Chopra, and what he taught his children. He taught them to meditate every morning. Each meditation was finished by asking three questions. Who am I? What do I want? How can I serve? Who am I? What do I want? How can I serve? These questions were intended to set the tone of every day. They were intended to remind them of the greater purpose of their lives. We are going to do a guided meditation today using those questions. If you're not used to the practice of meditating, it might seem a little long, but that's okay. Your attention might wander. That's okay too. Just bring it back. Each time you find your mind wandering, bring it back. Don't beat yourself up. Don't worry about it. Just bring it back. And we're going to meditate a couple minutes on each of those questions. We're going to really sit with that this morning. When I want you to change questions, we're going to ponder each question one at a time. So we're going to start with, who am I? When I want you to switch your focus to the next question, I will sound the chime. Don't come out of your meditation, but rather just shift. We're going to shift to the next question. So let us begin. Again, make yourselves comfortable in whatever position you wish. Soften your gaze. Close your eyes. Bring your focus into this space now. Who am I? What do I want? How can I serve? Slowly bring your attention back to the room. Open your eyes. Take a deep breath. Amid the noise and chaos of our daily lives, it's easy to forget to live intentionally. Malika Chopra, in her TED Talk, tells the story of how she got to meet Eckhart Tolle, the author of many books, most popular among them is The Power of Now. It's a wonderful story, and I highly recommend watching the video. It can be found on YouTube if you just type in the words Malika Chopra TED Talk. I'm sure you'll find it. In the story of meeting Eckhart Tolle, she tells how she was very nervous. Of course, right? Wouldn't you be meeting an author like that? Even though her father is Deepak Chopra, she was still nervous to meet Eckhart Tolle. To her father isn't Deepak Chopra, he's just her father, right? And so the powerful person that we know is not necessarily that to her. And so she's going about her day, and she's busy, and she's wondering, what am I going to ask him, and what are we going to talk about, and how can I make the most of this time? And she's worried about not asking the right questions. And then she gets there, and his assistant says, okay, you have 15 minutes. You have 15 minutes with Eckhart. So make the most of it. And at the end of 15 minutes, I'll knock on the door and I'll open it, and that's your cue to leave. So then she thinks, oh my goodness, 15 minutes. Now I really have to, you know, the pressure's on. I really have to make the most of this. I have to, should really only ask maybe one question. What's going to be that question? And she, her mind is racing. She goes in the room. There he is. And she sits in the chair facing him. And suddenly, outside the window, bells start ringing. Church bells, most likely, some kind of bells. And Eckhart Tolle says, oh, let's listen to the bells. So she thinks, okay, let's listen to the bells. So they sit and they listen. The bells keep ringing and ringing and ringing. And after about 4 minutes, they're still ringing. And of course, you know, she's really not focusing on the bells. She's thinking, oh my God, my time is slipping away. The bells keep ringing, ringing, ringing. At about 8.5 minutes in, she finally interrupts and says, I really need to ask you a question. And he says, no, let's listen to the bells. So then she realizes, maybe I should listen to the bells. Maybe that's what I'm here to do. So finally, she just sits with him and listens to the bells. And eventually, the bells stop ringing. The assistant comes in, knocks on the door. Eckhart Tolle shoos her away and says, no, no, she gets more than 15 minutes. They ended up speaking for 1.5 hours. And in that time, she spoke to him of many, many things about her life. And there's one part of that story I would like to lift up for you this morning. Malika tells him that she feels so frenzied every day, trying to be a good mom and have a career and do all the things. But she says she just feels like a soccer mom, that really all she's doing is driving her kids from one activity to the next, and baking for the PTA and doing all the things that don't really, in her mind, have any spiritual value. So how can she live with intent this way, being basically the mom taxi? She's beginning to start a website called intent.com, which I highly recommend you look at. And she's trying to teach people how to live with intent, but she feels like a fraud because all she's doing are these daily chores. Her life is so busy that that's all she can focus on. Mr. Tolle pauses and then says quietly, what if being a soccer mom is the best thing you could possibly be in this moment? How would your thinking change if I told you that that was your purpose right now? Malika describes this as one of the most profound moments of her life. Living intentionally means turning inward, aligning our thoughts and actions with our core values. I leave you today with this question. How would your thinking about yourself change if you were told that who you are in this very moment is the best thing you could possibly be? May the answer you discover lead you to a life of living with intent. May it be so. Amen, and blessed be. We receive fragments of holiness, glimpses of eternity, brief moments of insight. Let us gather them up for the precious gifts that they are, and renewed by their grace, move boldly into the unknown. Go in peace, living a life of intent.